I came out looking like I had one of those Grease movie hairdos, you know. Well, halfway through agricultural school, I got accepted into veterinary school at the University of Missouri. And they told me I didn't have to continue in ag school, but I wanted to. So the last 2 years of ag school, the first 2 years of veterinary school, I was doing both courses. So I'm doing like 120 hours, double the highest of the load you're supposed to take. And in December 1961, I was a graduate student, started taking pathology courses, and just by sheer weight of numbers, I ran into the first mass die-off in America from pollution. The first mass die-off from pollution. And got it published, and it was quite a thing for a 21-year-old guy to have a paper like that published. And I was very excited about that. And so I gave a copy of it to Marlon Perkins, and then when I graduated veterinary school, after a short period of time, I went to Africa to work on the White Rhino Project, and Perkins got me that position in South Africa. And to make a long story short, here again, I'm a 20 from saving a species. There's 400 of these animals left, caught four. Out of the 400 that are alive, I caught 200 of them, sent them back. So if you see a white rhino in a wild animal park or a zoo, it's either one that I caught or offsprings of the one I caught. Today, there's 10,000 left, so praise God, our efforts were successful. Well, 2 years into that White Rhino Project and the African Elephant Conservation Project, Perkins sent me a letter and said, look, I need you back in the States now, Wallach. A water bottle right there. Put it on the floor. Busted! Okay. And so Perkins sent me this letter and he invited me back to the States because he'd gotten a multi-million dollar grant to study pollution as contributing to the sickness and the causes of death in zoo animals in the big cities around the United States. And he wanted to use zoo animals, much like the old Welsh coal miners used to use the canaries. They'd take down the mines, and if the gases would knock the canaries off the perch and kill them, the men could get out before they were seriously damaged or killed. And so Perkins said, we can do the same thing with zoo animals. And he had me come back to be the pathologist on that project. To make a long story short, after a period of 10 years and 20,000 autopsies, 10 million chemistries, 10 million slides of special stains, the bottom line was that every animal and every human being that dies of what we would call natural cause, that was kind of a revelation. Well, at 20,000 autopsies included 17,000 change of over 454 species of zoo animals and 3,000 humans. And again, that was published in 75 scientific papers. And this book, which is 1,200 pages, has been put into the Smithsonian Institute as because of the work that was done. Now, graduated veterinary school, and at that point, and of course, did all this work. After that work was done, they sent me to Brookfield Zoo and Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago in the Shedd Aquarium. A lot of species there I hadn't dealt with before. And then I moved on to the Yerkes Primate Center, which were monkeys were being dealt with for NASA, space travel, back in those days, back in the 60s and 70s. And to make a long story short, within the first couple of months I was there, I ran into the first non-human case of cystic fibrosis, a disease thought to be genetically transmitted in humans. And I determined that it was not genetically transmitted. It was actually a deficiency of a single mineral selenium postnatal birth, just after they were being born. Their mother gave them breast milk that was deficient in selenium, and so they would get cystic fibrosis. And I tracked it down to an environmental problem in the colony, figured it out because they had blood samples of all the parents of like 25 unrelated monkeys, and did biopsies of their tissues, found they all had cystic fibrosis. So I knew it was an environmental problem rather than genetics because they're unrelated. Tracked it down, wrote it up, and they fired me. They fired me when I found the cause, prevention, cure for cystic fibrosis. Well, to make a long story short, I went back to school in the naturopathic college. In the naturopathic college in Portland, Oregon, and began to treat humans. So, what I learned was that and that was in 1980. What I learned was that there's been thousands and thousands of failed medical theories over the last 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 years that physicians have been writing things down. And every century, there's hundreds of failed medical theories. The 20th century, 21st century are no different. Well, after the Second World War, jumping back to the Second World War, and they couldn't try Hitler for war crimes because he couldn't try his generals for war crimes because they were just good soldiers and do horrible things to innocent civilians, and motored into the woodwork. Well, the ones who got tried and found guilty for war crimes and were hung were the medical doctors in Germany. Thousands of medical doctors were found guilty of war crimes and hung. About that same time, a guy, rocket expert for the Nazis, he was also the jet engine expert for the Nazis, he was also the nuclear weapons expert for the Nazis, a guy by the name of Wernher von Braun. Some of you may remember that name, Wernher von Braun. And he turned over all of his materials and gave us a 50-year against the Soviets, Soviet Union at that time, because we got all the rocket and jet engine and nuclear stuff from them. Gave him a pardon, and he and his dozen people who were part of his team in Nazi Germany became professors of physics in our schools of engineering. But at the same time, we had all this information from these 40 million torture, and the top 100 doctors came to us and said, look, we'll give you all this data of their 40 million experiments, they called them, if you pardon us, like you did Wernher von Braun. So we pardoned them, gave them jobs in our medical schools. How did the Nazis pay us for the cost of the war? We got their pharmaceutical industry. And then we made them publicly traded and sold the stock, and the government got paid because we got to get all the Nazi pharmaceutical companies.